Ah, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
What are you doing on that? I thought we went back. I thought we made an executive decision yesterday that we were moving on to a new theme song, to an opening, to a new show opener.
They said you know, we were culturally appropriating if we use that. So
it wasn't original. We were stealing it from Robert Kennedy Jr. from the Kennedy-Shanahan campaign, which opened their press conference yesterday, their big announcement with a Native American chanting and beating on a drum, which right there and then I said, I'm done with RFK. It was just pathetic. Talking about stolen land and acknowledging the Native American tribe who once lived in Oakland. By the way. It's growing on me. I don't know. It's growing on me.
This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
How they never mentioned the Native American tribe from whom the Native American tribe they're acknowledging stole the land. What do they think? They were bequeathed it from the Lord himself?
I think so.
They stole the land from another tribe. Who stole it from another tribe? Let's just get this over. We're done with this, but there's no such thing as stolen land. Only conquered land. There's no such. But that was RFK's downfall right there in my mind. But we went into that yesterday. Went over that yesterday. We're moving on. Today, Dan Bongino, the great Dan Bongino, likes to say political campaigns are about snapshots and sound bites. That's it. Snapshots and sound bites. He's run for office. He's covered politics for a long time. And today, we have, today in New York City, we have the greatest contrast in snapshots. Now, there will be a real effort from the mainstream media to not put these two snapshots next to each other. But maybe they'll have no choice, because this is going to be big. Today in New York City, there's so much happening. SBF, the tough tussle-haired scumbag, is being sentenced this morning in New York City. We'll keep an eye on that. Prosecutors are looking to put him away for 40 to 50 years, which he absolutely deserves. The defense is asking for 6.5 years because he's just a harmless little fuzzball, 32-year-old con man who stole $10 billion. We'll see how that goes. I know he has one thing going for him. He gave $200 million to Democrats. So there's got to be people on the phone right now saying, we owe him. Let's go easy on him. But we'll see. We'll get to that. I want to start with the contrast of the two presidential candidates, both of whom are in New York City today. Joe Biden is at Radio City Music Hall. He's hosting the largest political fundraiser in American political history. It's $10,000 a seat to go to Radio City Music Hall and watch this corpse shuffle around the stage. Also in attendance will be Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. These are people, especially Obama, who are really worried about their guy for good reason. He's getting trounced in the polls. He's got dementia. He's corrupt as hell. So they're trying to prop up their guy. And all the usual suspects will be showing up to show their support, including Stephen Colbert.
Ooh, he's going to be very funny at this.
And Lizzo. Ugh. Lizzo will be there. I assume there's a buffet. they're going to raise something in the neighborhood of $25 million in one night. Good luck to him. And, you need money. I'm sure Biden will walk out of there with a pile of cash so he can continue to run ads lying about everything that Trump said. He'll be, his ads now are about Charlottesville and injecting bleach and suckers and losers. The whole campaign is built on media-driven hoaxes. But anyway, at the same time, earlier in the day, Donald Trump will be in New York City. His legal team's in Atlanta fighting the Fannie Willis case, which is just a joke. How is that case even going on? We saw her on the stand. We saw she's as corrupt as hell. She ran a scheme. She and her boyfriend scammed the state out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. She admitted it. She admitted using campaign funds in cash for her little trips around the globe and to Belize and cruises and wine country. We saw it. How is she still on the case? It's just amazing. It is Democrat privilege right there. She should be disbarred. She should be in jail. She's a crook and a liar. Anyway, I got to get to this. Trump will be attending the wake of Officer Jonathan Diller, the 31-year-old cop who was shot and killed on the streets of Queens, of Rockaway, Far Rockaway, on Monday. In the middle of the day, by the way, Officer Diller and his partner approached a vehicle, a Kia Soul, that was parked illegally at a bus stop. All he did was walk up to the car and tell them to get out. And what was the reaction from the scumbags in the car? To come out shooting. The shooter, 34-year-old Guy Rivera, shot Diller in the stomach below his vest and killed him. And I'm telling you, we see videos, we hear stories every day about the violence against police officers. It's out of control. And feel free to blame Democrat politicians, especially in New York City. New York City's city council has elected officials who hate cops, who blame cops for everything, who spearheaded the defund the police movement, who never hesitate to call cops racist. Well, Officer Diller apparently was a terrific cop, a great guy, father of a one-year-old baby, married, just by all accounts, just a super, super human being. And this piece of filth, a criminal with 21 criminal convictions on his record, including 9 felonies. I know, call me naive. I always believed people who committed 9 felonies before their 34th birthday were in prison. I just assumed that. Silly me. He was out. He was free. His partner, a guy named Lindy Jones, was another career criminal who'd already served 10 years for attempted murder. They were both armed illegally for the gun nuts. They were violating the gun laws. They weren't legal gun holders. And all they were doing, all the cops were doing was say, can you step out of the car, sir? And the reaction is, you know, I think I'll go down shooting. I look at these things. We're looking at the video right now. And I never can grasp the thought process. And maybe I'm not an evil scumbag, but I'm thinking of the consequences. How do you not consider the consequences? It's like anybody who resists arrest, what do you think's going to happen? You think you're going to get away? What do you think, you're Deep Cooper? You're going to get away and disappear? What did Guy Rivera think was going to happen? What did he think the end result would be? Now, you could say he's not thinking, and clearly he's not thinking straight. I mean, the only explanation I can come up with is, well, two, that he likes prison, that he feels like he belongs in prison. He knows he's going to prison, and he does it anyway. And B, he thinks cops are evil. Cops are the bad guys. Cops deserve to die. And he gets that idea from the community leaders, from the city councilors, from the media, who've been telling us, at least since 2020, that cops are like slaveholders, slave hunters. They're racist. They want to kill you. That's not the case. This guy didn't want to kill Guy Rivera. He wanted him to get out of the car. That was the question. That was the order. Get out of the car. That's it. So you get out of the car. I don't know, maybe you get arrested for an outstanding warrant. Maybe you get arrested for the gun. You don't go away for life, and you don't take the life of a cop just trying to do his job. I don't understand how this doesn't infuriate everybody, how this doesn't lead the news every day for weeks. We have this culture where somehow the cops are the bad guys. I tweeted about it, and I got, you know, mostly people who, like me, are infuriated. But you get these people who say, why are the cops doing this? Why are they harassing these guys? All it was a parking violation. Well, all he did was ask him to get out of the car. Maybe he was worried that if he just went to the window, he'd get shot. He was right. He got shot. Well, Diller is indeed a hero. He wrestled him to the ground, got the gun away from him. Rivera got shot by Diller's partner, which is a good thing, but he survived, which is not a good thing. He's being waked today in New York City, and the scene, the crowd, the streets, the visual, the video is going to be breathtaking. Then there's going to be a funeral with, I'm going to guess, I don't know, 30,000 people. There are 35,000 cops in New York City. Most of them will attend, whether they're in the church or on the street or lining the route, they'll be there. And Donald Trump will be there today. Think of this. Donald Trump called the widow. Donald Trump called the Tunnel for Towers guy that you see on TV all the time on commercials. He called the Tunnel for Towers guy and, we believe, made a donation. He then called the widow and said, your mortgage is paid off. Dave Portnoy from Barstool did a fundraiser, raised, I think, $750,000. He matched it, and the widow is getting $1.5 million, and she has no mortgage. So good for them, good for Trump, good for Tunnel for Towers. But here's my favorite part of this story. The New York City, the head of the union, the police union, is warning the city councilors and the mayor to stay the hell away from the wake. These are people that tweeted these meaningless thoughts and prayers and, you know, poor Officer Diller. But he knows they don't support the cops. Here's what I always think. What if Rivera wasn't armed? If he just got out of the car, if he just cooperated, this wouldn't be a story. What if Rivera fought the cop and the cop shot him? Immediately, these people would be saying, you know, investigate this man. It's racist. It's, you know, it's systemic racism. They were looking for ways to blame the cops, but they can't this time. So they pretend to give a damn about cops. It's so hollow. It's so phony. These people are the worst, and good for the police union for telling them to stay the hell away. He specifically called out City Council Speaker Adrian Adams and public advocate Jumaine Williams. And his name is Vincent Vallelong. He said, stay home. They detest cops and have no appreciation for what they do. They should stay home and not pretend they're grieving. They've caused enough heartbreak and destruction. Good for him. Maybe that's why Joe Biden's not going to go to the wake and the funeral, because he knows he's not welcome, because he has said our law enforcement are systemically racist. He never hesitates to blame cops if there's an incident, but it's just so avoidable. It's heartbreaking. It's maddening. It's infuriating, but it's just so avoidable. We see this all the time. Every single incident between cops and black suspects who then become martyrs to BLM and to Democrats could have complied. They could have cooperated. They would have lived. Think of this. You name it. George Floyd, who OD'd in custody. He could have cooperated. He resisted. maybe he'd be a lot, maybe, you know, would have OD'd anyway, but he didn't have to fight. He could have gone along and faced, you know, the serious charge of passing in a counterfeit bill. Any one of these, Jacob Blake, Breonna Taylor, whose boyfriend shot at the cop, they shot back. She died. There's one thing they all have in common. They don't cooperate. They don't comply. Every community leader, including these loathsome city councils in New York, you know, from Al Sharpton to Benjamin Crum to Barack Obama, if you consider yourself a leader, a community leader, a leader in the Black community, you should have one message for young Black men particularly, but all young Black people who get pulled over, who get asked to step out of the car. You should have one message. It should be comply, cooperate, you'll live. There is no happy ending when you resist. There's no happy ending when you fight, when you shoot. What do you think's going to happen? You're going to become a martyr? Is that what you want? And obviously, you know, there'll be huge protests and, you know, looting and riots and fires and maybe in your name, but you'll be dead. You'll be dead. What's the upside? Why isn't that drilled into from parents of young Black kids who might have an encounter with the cops? You should tell them one thing: comply, cooperate. You know, we'll see him in court. If the cop crosses the line, you know, we'll sue him. We'll fight these charges. You'll live. Isn't that kind of the most important thing? It's just utter madness. And the fact that this guy, Guy Rivera, was on the street. I said this yesterday. I need someone to explain to me this. I know the New York Times doesn't give a damn, or, you know, NBC, but the New York Post does. There's independent journalists. There's some journalists still out there. Why don't we know every judge that freed these monsters, that allowed these maggots on the street? Today, front page of the New York Post: dark day for city, cop killed by career criminal. It also mentions this psycho who pushed a man in front of the train same day, randomly killed him. This guy's been in and out of jails his whole life. He was laughing when the cops arrested him. Just pushed a random guy in front of the subway. Why don't we know? Just do the job. Here, New York Post: every judge who allowed them to walk out of court, every DA who didn't press charges. Well, we know Alvin Bragg is busy trying to put Trump in jail for paying off Stormy Daniels 20 years ago. But how is Guy Rivera on the street? Why don't we know that? It's kind of an important component to the story. But, man, cops have a tough job. You know what Jonathan Diller was thinking? I mean, obviously, we don't know. But, you know, I'll bet he was thinking, I'll bet every cop in New York City, every cop in a blue city, blue state, what they're thinking when they approach a car, when they pull someone over. They're thinking, I don't want to be Derek Chauvin. I don't want to be the guys who shot back when Breonna Taylor's boyfriend shot us. He actually hit a cop. Cops fired back. Breonna Taylor became a martyr. Her family got rich. George Floyd's family got $27 million. Family he didn't even give a damn about. You know, he had kids who like hadn't seen him in 30 years. They got $27 million because their father OD'd while resisting arrest. If you're a cop, if you're Jonathan Diller, you're thinking, I don't want to be that guy. You might have your gun drawn, but the last thing you want to do is use it. Even though you know, you suspect the guy in the car has a gun and he wants to kill you. You're thinking, I'm going to do my job here, but I don't want to end up facing charges. I don't want to end up in prison. So what happens? They end up dead. It is a tough job in today's climate in places like New York City and places like El Paso. Let's get to this. We see a lot of body cam footage. We just saw a video of Diller. It was hard to see exactly what was going on. In this case, a couple weeks ago in El Paso, Texas, it's not hard to see. It's not hard to understand what's going on. It is the most chilling body cam footage I've ever seen. You may have already seen it. I've tweeted it. It's making the rounds. But put yourself in the position of the cop here. I'll set it up a little bit here because it's incredible. It's from the Daily Caller. They write, the El Paso Police Department released body cam footage of a harrowing incident in which a patrol officer shot and killed a suspect who claimed he had a gun. All right, I gave away the ending. There's a happy ending. But this video, the cop, the suspect's name is Michael Estrada. They write, the cops say, became uncooperative and stated he had a gun. The video shows the officer approach Estrada, who was sitting in a black Mustang, which was parked in a car wash with the hood up. They just want to know what's going on here. Suspect parked in a car wash, hood up. All he does is approach. All he's doing is routine check here. And it escalates. And it is so scary, I have to say. You remember the movie Fargo? Pretty sure it was Billy Bob Thornton. Mm-hmm. Cop pulls him over and he says, do you want to go home tonight? Do you want to go home and see your family? And Billy Bob Thornton is a bad guy. He's scary. And the cop thinks about it and walks away because he doesn't want to die. Well, this guy, maybe he saw Fargo, makes the same threat. Do you want to go home tonight? You're a cop and you hear that? Do you want to go home tonight? From a gun, scumbag with a gun? That is frightening. But he has to be sure he has a gun, because if he doesn't, this cop's career is over. Hell, maybe his life is over. Maybe he goes to prison like Chauvin, where he gets beaten up and spends the rest of his life. I mean, this is a tough, tough job in this climate. Let's watch this. If you're watching along, the suspect is sitting in the driver's seat. Cop is standing over him. Cop has a gun out quickly. And talk about being uncooperative. He threatens the life of the cop. And the cop is patient.
Very.
Eventually, his patience runs out. Let's watch.
Do me a favor, dude. Can you step out the car for me?
I can't do that.
Where is that?
You need a backup, bro.
Why do I need a backup?
You need a backup right now.
Why?
You need a backup.
Why, dude? Hey, relax. Relax, dude.
Please get away from me.
Okay, relax. What do you have in your hand?
Please get away from me.
What do you have in your hand, dude?
Please.
Clear there.
Please, sir.
What do you have in your hand, dude?
Please, sir. Don't let me do this.
What's in your hand?
It's a gun. Please back up.
Hey,
over there by your car.
Let me see your hand, dude.
Go by your car, please.
Let me see your
over
hand.
Go by your car, please.
Let me see your hand,
please,
dude.
Please, sir.
Let me see your
go
hand.
Go back to your car. Go back to your car.
Just, you relax,
tonight,
dude.
Right?
Relax.
You go home tonight?
Relax,
you go
dude.
Home tonight, right?
Relax.
I'm relaxed. Can you please go by your
okay,
car?
Okay, just put it. Just put it down, dude.
Okay, go by your car. Then.
Okay, I will.
Okay, go.
Put it down.
You want to go home tonight, right?
Just put it down.
You want to go home tonight?
Just put it down,
you
dude.
Go home tonight?
Just put it down.
I'm not going to put it down. Go by your car.
What dude. Is it, dude?
Go. Do you want to go home tonight?
Yes,
pick
relax.
Did you pick the wrong day to go to work today?
Okay, dude, relax, please.
Okay, get back to
relax.
Your car. Get back to your car, please.
Relax, dude.
I'm going to relax. Just keep
shots fired, shots fired, shots fired.
You picked the wrong day to go to work, he says to him. And eventually he reaches for the gun and the officer ends the threat. Good for him. My question is, if Michael Estrada, this absolute psycho, had been reaching for his phone or reaching for whatever, his wallet or nothing, what would happen to the officer right there?
Oh, he'd be so fired. But he even said, I have a gun. So it's as clear as day.
Right, right. And he had a gun and his family is demanding an investigation. You really need an investigation? I mean, what if he didn't have body cam footage? This cop, I mean, his life is over. Good for him. That's heroic right there. That is heroic. We should be honoring that cop. And we should, you know, else should be honoring. No one even mentions them. The two cops in Nashville who took out the trans shooter 1 year ago yesterday. These guys were amazing. They showed up in less than 6 minutes and they neutralized the threat after that psycho trans shooter shot up the Christian school. You know, we haven't yet to see her her manifesto or any of her computers or any of anything. We don't know her motive because they won't let us see it because she's trans. But those cops were incredible. They went to the shot, to the sound of the gunfire and took her out. And if they hadn't, there would have been a bunch more dead kids. I'm sick of this anti-police sentiment. Since 2020, since the summer of love, since the George Floyd riots,
summer of love.
263 cops have been killed in the line of duty. Now, the number of, you know, innocent black motorists or defendants killed by cops, white cops, is much, much less than that. That's a fraction of that. Somehow, this is no big deal. Just, you know, just another cop, the 263rd shot. But good for Trump, good for Portnoy, and good for the NYPD. They will do this right. Tomorrow, today will be something to see, and tomorrow, the funeral will just be incredible. Good for them. And rest in peace, Jonathan Diller. We got to move on. We have so much more. Most of it's in New York City today. SBF is going to be sentenced, which is a wonderful thing. We got the latest valuation on Truth Social, and it's hilarious. I love this story. And the Baltimore mayor, who's dealing with the worst catastrophe in the city's history, he's got his priorities straight. He's going to tell you, you know, why it's so tough to be a black mayor in Baltimore. Sat down with Joy Reid. It's just what you want your mayor doing when you have this disaster area that is Baltimore right now. Sit down with Joy Reid for a nice segment of racial grievance. We'll get to that and lots more. But first,
excuse me.
Is it too late for a New Year's resolution? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't matter. 2024 is the year you will stop your hair from premature thinning and you'll achieve your goal quickly and for years to come. The new Provia hair thinning therapy from Chamonix is here and it works wonders for follicle health and thinning hair. The Provia secret is a powerful natural ingredient called Procapil that effectively targets the three main causes of premature hair thinning and loss. By supporting healthy scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and healthy hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head and less in the shower. Effective for men and women of any age and safe for colored, treated, and styled hair, it's that easy. And new customers save over 50% plus shipping on Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Callahan. Every package includes a 60-day supply of Provia serum plus Provia super concentrate for faster and more noticeable results. You get Provia's Perfect Beard Treatment or Provia Eyelash Enhancing Serum as your exclusive free gift at checkout. Don't wait. Your full, thick hair starts today. Provia works or you get 100% of your money back. Order now and save an extra 10% at proviahair.com/Callahan. That's proviahair.com/Callahan. All right, we're waiting for the sentencing of SBF. And I'm not going to be able to handle it, Ironhead. If he gets off easy, I am going to lose it. This is one of the biggest con men, if not the biggest, in American history. To review, he stole $10 billion from 1 million clients. He scammed 1 million people, which is a hell of a lot more than Bernie Madoff. You know what Bernie Madoff, you know what he was sentenced to? 150 years in prison. He died in a North Carolina prison, which is a good thing. He deserved every minute of it. His sons were involved, and one of them killed himself. It was a fitting ending to this legendary con man. But NBC writes, Sam Bankman-Fried will learn his sentence today, 4 months after he was found guilty of orchestrating the multi-billion-dollar fraud that prompted the collapse of FTX cryptocurrency exchange. He was convicted in November of 2 counts of fraud, 5 counts of conspiracy. Federal prosecutors are seeking as much as 50 years for Bankman-Fried. He lacks a criminal history. And prosecutors really rarely seek the maximum, said a professor at Columbia. The defense is asking for 6.5 years. He's in jail now. His bail was revoked for witness tampering. Lawyers are pleading for leniency, citing his mental health struggles. Oh, God. His purported selflessness in his personal life and the safety risks he faces in prison. Were they concerned about the safety risks for Derek Chauvin? Are they ever concerned when a cop gets sentenced? Well, Bankman-Fried, as we know, is just a big, big, doughy fuzzball. And they're worried about his safety risks, you know, if he goes to Rikers. Not only do I want him to go to 50 years, I want his parents. His father's an advisor of Liz Warren, just these radical lefties. And his parents benefited. They got money. They got condos in Bahamas. They were in on it. I'd love to see them go down next. But SBF is going to be sentenced. And here's the thing to keep an eye on. Joe Biden owes his presidency to SBF. He gave him $40 million. He gave $200 million to Democrats in the 2020 election cycle. Lots of them owe him. Do they have the power to make a call, to put the fix in? I don't know. We'll find out. If he gets less than 25 years, it's a travesty. This guy is the biggest fraud, the biggest liar in American history. I still want Tom Brady. I want Steph Curry. I want Kevin O'Leary to be asked to explain why they laid down with this dog. They had to know. I mean, look at him. They had to know this wasn't on the level, but hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen any minute now. And I hope he gets a long, long time in prison. I don't care about his mental health struggles. He was mentally aware enough to rob people of $10 billion. But good luck to SBF. Maybe he will have a tough time in prison. You know what? He deserves it. He deserves it. He's earned it. Question is, will he get as much time as Donald Trump? I don't know. Will he get as much time as everybody in Trump's orbit is, you know, Peter Navarro and all the rest of Trump's surrogates who have been hounded by the corrupt Biden DOJ. All right, quickly, I'll do the True Social story, which is funny. This is the funniest story of the day. True Social. What is this? This is from Reuters. This is driving the media nuts. They're like calling this some kind of scam. They had a financial expert on, MSNBC or CNBC, saying the SEC has to investigate. This smells like a scam. They can't handle the fact that they can't bankrupt Trump. They were counting on everybody, counting on E. Jean Carroll and Letitia James to bankrupt Trump. Well, in the middle of their efforts, Trump's company, True Social, ticker symbol DJT, goes public. According to Reuters, the Securities Exchange Commission allowed Donald Trump's media and technology company to merge with a blank check acquisition vehicle in a deal that currently values the parent of his social media app, True Social, at as much as $10 billion. He can't sell for 6 months, but if it maintains this kind of value, he's going to walk away with $4.5 billion, and they can't stand it. This is the best part. True Social is now valued at more than the New York Times. True Social, with fewer than 500,000 subscribers or users is worth more than the New York Times. Oh, that is just glorious. Congratulations to Trump and all the stockholders. Devin Nunes is the CEO. I'm sure he's making, hundreds of millions of dollars. Good for him. Good for all of them. I love that. It's worth more than most media companies right now. It's worth like half of Twitter, which is amazing. It's got a fraction of the users, but hey, maybe they see a bright future, and they're all whining that it's just Trump cult members buying the stock. Well, who cares who's buying it? Trump's cashing in. Good for him. All right, let's get to the mayor of, we can give you the latest on the bridge collapse. I'll tell you the most comical development in this bridge collapse. Nothing comical about it. It's sad. It's tragic. I can't imagine how much it's screwing up the city of Baltimore and, hell, the whole East Coast for years. It took 5 years to build a bridge. Now, being in a blue city, it's probably going to take 10 years to rebuild it. But we'll see. We'll get to that and more. But first.
Excuse me.
We all know the stock market has seen unprecedented fluctuation over the past 3 years, and I'm just going to guess that's going to continue for at least another year. Well, silver has historically been considered a safe haven asset during times of market volatility. When uncertainty rises, investors often turn to precious metals like silver to preserve wealth and hedge against economic instability. The silver to gold ratio is at record levels. Gold is currently at an all-time high, whereas silver is below 50% of its all-time high. A ratio like this is unheard of and provides a great time to add silver to your collection. Well, CSN Mint has been providing certified U.S. Mint collectible coins and precious metals for over 20 years, and they are one of the most trusted names in numismatics. Explore CSN Mint's extensive catalog of bullion bars, coins, and numismatic collectibles. Whether you're a seasoned investor or a passionate collector, you'll find a diverse range of products to suit your needs and preferences. Rest assured that every product you purchase includes the original certificate of authenticity or is certified and graded by a third-party grader to ensure origin and purity. With CSN Mint, you can build your collection with confidence. If you're going to collect something, it might as well be money. So go to csnmint.com/Jerry and use promo code Jerry at checkout to get a free silver American Eagle over a $30 value with your purchase of $75 or more. We got to move. What's hilarious? I think I saw one person on Twitter call the mayor of Baltimore a DEI hire. Brandon Scott, he's 39 years old. He doesn't really dress like a mayor, wears hoodies and, varsity jackets. And, One person called him a DEI mayor that I saw. Maybe it was two or three. Maybe it was 20 or 30. Who cares? I mean, it's Twitter. It's social media. So what? I've been called worse. You've been called worse. It happens, But that became a big deal to the left-wing media, to MSNBC. So the guy who's supposed to be spearheading the effort to rebuild the bridge, to repair the damage, to mitigate the damage in Baltimore, goes on Joy Reid's show, which is just an hour of racial grievance and anger, to complain that he was labeled a DEI mayor by some lunatic on Twitter. Now, it was community noted, by the way, the Twitter corrected the tweet and said he was elected. He wasn't appointed or hired. So he can't be a DEI hire. Chris Rufo, the guy, the hero that's been leading the effort to eliminate DEI and critical race theory around the country, he went on Twitter and said, no, he's not a DEI hire. He was elected by the voters of Baltimore. You can complain about it. You can hate it. You can say he's a terrible mayor, and he is. But you can't say he was a DEI hire if he was elected. Doesn't matter. That's all they need is a tweet from some random guy. And that compels the mayor, who again is in the middle of the worst catastrophe in the city's history, takes time out of his busy day to go on Joy Reid and complain, to bitch, to lash out. Let's watch.
Allow you, Mayor Scott, if you choose to do so, to respond to the tomfoolery and attacks on you for having the nerve to be black and also a mayor.
Well, I think, listen, I know, and we all know, and you know very well, that black men and young black men in particular have been the boogeyman for those who are racist and think that only straight, wealthy white men should have a say in anything. We've been the boogeyman from them since the first day they brought us to this country. And what they mean by DEI, in my opinion, is duly elected incumbent. We know what they want to say, but they don't have the courage to say the N-word. And the fact that I don't believe in their untruthful and wrong ideology, and I am very proud of my heritage and who I am and where I come from, scares them, because me being at my position means that their way of thinking, their way of life, of being comfortable and suffering, and while everyone else suffers, is going to be at risk, and they should be afraid, because that's my purpose in life.
That was before the bridge collapse, right?
He says they should be afraid. They should be afraid because that's his purpose in life. By the way, she, no, it isn't. It was after, because she's in this segment, starts talking about right wingers who talked about, mentioned the immigration status of the construction workers who lost their lives. I haven't seen, I follow this stuff pretty closely. I haven't seen one person question the immigration status of the guys who died. I mean, nobody, I haven't seen anybody who doesn't say they're, it's an incredible tragedy. These guys were just doing their jobs, filling potholes. By the way, I know we've seen the video a million times. I want you to watch something else. I want you to watch something when you see the video of the ship crashing into the support beam. Do you have it ready? Because we can play it. Obviously, the lights go out. Count the seconds. I've done this a couple times the time it takes for the cars on the bridge to pass by and then the ship hit the beam. It's like 3 or 4 seconds.
This one I have is sped up, just so you know.
Okay, that's fine. You don't have to count, but the ship hits the beam. What? See, there's a car. There's another car. And then boom, it's literally seconds. There. See that car right there? That car right there? They survived. They survived. I'd love to talk to them. Look at that car. That's not even 2 seconds. The real hero, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of heroes. There's people diving, looking for victims. The guys filling the potholes, and doing real work. I don't care what their immigration status is. Nobody does, except Joy Reid. But the guy, the ship's captain, the pilot, made a mayday call. They immediately stopped traffic from going over the bridge, and they saved, I don't know, it wasn't rush hour, but they saved lives. And the guy, that last car, I don't know if they can identify them. I don't know if they have other camp. Look at that. Boom, look at that car. Just makes it over the bridge. And if they hadn't stopped traffic, maybe it wouldn't be hundreds of casualties, but there'd be more. There'd be more cars in the water, more victims. Just a minute. And it goes down so fast. I never thought a bridge could go down that easily, that quickly. Just scary. And again, it's going to be years, years before they repair the damage. And I'm not sure if I'm in Baltimore, I'm a Baltimore resident. I have a lot of faith in that mayor. He's too busy saying he's going to go. He's too busy threatening, you know, whatever, old white rich guys. That's his purpose in life. But anyway, let's get to your favorite story of the day, Ironhead. I know it is. Our friend Sage, I love Sage Steele. I made it clear. I loved her when she was on ESPN. She has great presence.
Yeah.
You know, she's obviously very attractive, but she's got guts too. She's got guts. She was fired from ESPN for questioning the vax mandate. That was it. That's all. That's not allowed on ESPN. Obviously, we know plenty of ESPN anchors who are radical leftists who railed hell. What's her name from Boston? Who worked up here, now works for ESPN, went on a rant, like a two-minute rant when Roe v. Wade was appealed in the middle of a Sports Center or some ESPN show. Duncan, L. Duncan. And well, lots of them. Obviously, when Jemele Hill was there, which is very political. We know Stephen A. gets political. Sage Steele, she was really good at the job, well-liked, well-respected. But she didn't like being forced to get an unnecessary vaccine, and that was it. Out on her ass. And she defended women's sports. She fights for women's sports, which is not allowed on ESPN or anywhere in the mainstream media. You're not allowed to defend women's sports. You're supposed to be thrilled that men are now in women's sports and now in some sports dominating. A woman, a man just won a big weightlifting competition. It's insane that any man is allowed in any woman's sports, you know, whether it's volleyball or field hockey or swimming, but weightlifting, you can allow men in weightlifting. Anyway, she's got a new show. She's apparently working for the Bill Maher podcast network, which is new. And it's going to be an interview show. And I don't know. I'll watch. I'll see what I think. But she's lined up a bunch of big stars. Her first show is Dana White. Now, Dana White's a good interview. He's got no filter. He made news in this interview because he said when they threatened to fire Joe Rogan, you know, for his vax skepticism, that he said, if you fire Rogan, I'm gone. And to whatever, the UFC board, that he would quit if they fired Rogan, which is pretty cool. Credit to Dana White. They didn't fire Rogan. They didn't fire White. White didn't quit. And Rogan, of course, won in the end. And now we all know how insane the vax mandates were. I mean, it's hard to believe, looking back, they kicked people out of the military. They fired cops and firemen who wouldn't get an unnecessary vaccine, which was driven by profits for Big Pharma and for Dr. Fauci. But we've gone over that a million times. I'm sure we'll do it again, but... here's two vax skeptics sitting down to chat on Sage Steele's show. And for this incredible gaffe, I'm going to give Sage Steele a lot of credit. I'll explain, but let's watch.
What's Joe Rogan's dream?
What's Joe Rogan's dream?
Joe Rogan, Dana White. What's Dana White's dream?
Did you just think I was Joe Rogan?
I totally did.
She just called me fucking Joe Rogan. You thought I was fucking Joe Rogan?
Yeah, I thought you were Joe Rogan.
I was bald before Joe was ever bald.
Okay? I know.
She did a 2-hour fucking podcast. I flew here from Vegas, and she Jesus. Thought she was interviewing Joe Rogan.
Jesus.
That is funny, but here's why Sage Steele deserves credit. How many podcasters or hosts or talk show hosts would have left that in? How many?
Not many.
It's gone viral. It's hilarious. But give her credit. She could have cut that out. I mean, they recorded this. They taped this. She could have cut that out. And I'm going to guess Joe Rogan gets mistaken for Dana White all the time. And Dana White gets mistaken for Joe Rogan all the time. I mean, they run in the same circles. They, you know, travel to the same places. They're very famous. They're both bald. They're both badasses. I'll bet this happens all the time. So that wasn't that bad a gap, but it was funny. And credit to Sage Steele for leaving it in. And I'll watch.
You can see her soul, absolutely leave her body, though.
She admits it. And then, I mean, you think Don Lemon would have left that in? You know, if he mistook Elon Musk for Jeff Bezos, would he left it in? Of course not.
I would call Don Lemon a racist in that scenario, though.
That's true. That's a good point. We all look alike. Yes, Joe Rogan and Dana White look kind of alike with their shaved heads. Mm. And, you know, they have similar, you know, personas. It's not that bad a mistake, but it is pretty funny. All right, before we go, we must salute the greatest governor in America. Ron DeSantis. Now, he didn't do well in the race. He didn't last. Trump destroyed him. Trump lied about him a lot, which is part of the process. He got attacked by everybody in those debates, by, you know, Nikki Haley and Vivek, and didn't work. You know, gave it a shot, didn't work. Well, he's back getting stuff done in Florida. And every time I see, every day, I'm just jealous. Obviously, most governors, certainly where I live, are just left-wing clowns that don't care about, you know, the taxpayers' money, that care more about illegal aliens than their own citizens, their own voters. See the latest numbers? New York City is budgeting $10.5 billion next year to care for illegal aliens. Massachusetts, which is much smaller, is spending $75 million a month caring for illegal aliens, getting them, you know, culturally appropriated food, phones, tablets, nice hotel rooms, same day dry cleaning, $75 million a month. Well, if you're in Florida, good for you. That's not happening. In less than a week, he has defeated Disney in court. Disney gave up, settled. They no longer have control over that area that they were fighting over. DeSantis won. He, yesterday, I don't know if he passed the law or proposed it, but he's fighting against squatters' rights, which is the most common sense thing in the world. Defending homeowners, saying there will be no squatters' rights in Florida. And he's led an effort to get Americans out of Haiti. Every day, they're flying Americans who are trapped in Haiti out of Haiti back to the U.S. And the latest this morning, I tweeted about this. It's great. There's a movement in Florida introduced by a Republican legislator and certainly will be signed by DeSantis to eliminate the term climate change from all legislation. Every bill in Florida will no longer include the term climate change. God bless you, Ron DeSantis. There's not a single hardworking taxpayer that wants their money to go to climate change efforts. It's just madness. But it's a big deal in blue cities, blue states. We have, you know, a mayor in Boston who thinks she's going to change the weather by pissing away millions on electric school buses and, you know, sustainable energy. Just absolute nonsense. And DeSantis, as usual, is having none of it. Good for him.
DeSantis signs law to remove squatters' rights, so it's already done.
Signed the law, so it's a done deal. No one will be squatting, stealing houses. If you want to steal a house, you know, if you want to follow the tutorial from that lunatic illegal alien from Venezuela who's telling people, who has 500,000 followers on TikTok and explaining to people how they could steal houses, well, you ain't going to do in Florida. If you're an illegal alien and you want to go to a state and just live like a king, you don't go to Florida. God bless him. It's a damn shame that we don't have more Ron DeSantis in this country. See, the Babylon Bee said DeSantis is going to be kicked out of the Republican Party for getting things done. Yeah. That's all he does. He wakes up in the morning and he gets stuff done. Good for him. All right. We will leave it there. We'll be watching for the SBF sentencing. Certainly watching the wake, the funeral of Jonathan Diller. God, again, kudos to Dave Portnoy, to Donald Trump for doing the right thing. And we'll be watching with interest the big event at Radio City Music Hall. I'm not sure how much we'll get to see, but we'll certainly see a lost and confused Joe Biden up on stage as these elitists who don't care about the border, who don't care about the price of groceries, will be saluting this corpse tonight and raising a record amount of money for the Biden campaign. Wild day today, but we'll leave it there. Thanks, Ironhead. Thank you for listening. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go to bed.